welcome to the David Guetta DJ Mix.
Hola, esto es el David Guetta DJ Mix.
I just wanna make you sweat.
Worldwide.
Make me come alive, come on and turn me on.
Yo, little bad girl, little bad girl.
The David Guetta DJ Mix starts now. Only one station. Only one show.
You guys ready?
Can give you exclusive access to One Direction.
We've got the concert tickets.
We've got the tickets to get on top of the world famous rooftop.
We've confirmed it. We've got the whole band in our studios to talk to you.
You've got
One Direction
right here.
Listen all next week. The Kyle and Jackie O Show. Breakfast with the Stars.
On Sydney's 104.1.
Today FM.
Nobody else.
Dance to this.
What you do, take over control.
Shake it like you're
sexy, mama, know it.
Radio 60.
Can you, just so we can get an idea, you know, people that... There's a lot of people out there that are either going to be forced into this position, you know, by virtue of... companies continuing the consolidation, or they're going to want to make this decision. But, you know, about how many clients, you know, side clients did you have? And you don't need to tell me specific dollars, right. But, you know, you had whatever you were getting paid at KTU or from Clear Channel, you know, what percentage of that money were you making on the side? You know, and just ballpark it for us to give an idea.
I'd say 15 to 20% of my salary. I made that on the side at the time.
Okay.
Yeah, before I got going.
And that's with what, maybe 10 or so extra clients, side clients in some way?
Yeah, you know, you have, when you do imaging, you know, you have your monthly retainer clients, so you know how much you, which I love, because the rest of the voiceover world doesn't get that. These people that do just commercials and narrations and stuff, I'm like, how can you live like that? You don't know when you're going to book your next gig. At least I know I have five checks coming in this month, or 30 checks, or, you know, whatever it is.
Right, I'm going to get paid my biggest month ever, and then I might not get paid for 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. I could not do that. Thank God most of those people don't go for this niche that we're in. And then there was always enough extra commercial work or narration work or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was not proud. I would scour Craigslist and I would find diamonds in the rough, little video production companies that didn't know how to really find voice actors properly. And and I'd send them a link to my website. And because we know what's on Craigslist, they'd be blown away. They're like, whoa. And then they think they couldn't afford me or whatever. And I'd be like, well, let's talk, you know.
Say no. Let's just figure it out.
Right. And you know, and even to this day, nobody wants to talk about what their lowest rates are or whatever. But sometimes we have what I got this phrase from Casey Baker down in Australia, our lunch money clients, you know.
So yeah.
Nothing to poo-poo about that. So.
Yeah. No. Okay. So you get a year and a half out and you were just talking about how the unemployment's running out, the severance is running out, some clients are dropping and economy's in the toilet. So tell me about either the one thing or a couple things that you did at that time that really turned the corner for you.
Well, fortunately, I had some money in a 401k, and I took a hardship withdrawal on that, took a beating on the taxes, but that helped. And then I refinanced the house under Obama's HAMP program, which a lot of people have said the program was a failure. Not many people got to do it. Well, you know what? I'm one of the people that got to do it. And right now I'm paying 2% interest on my house.
Really?
Yeah. So it worked for me. It really I knocked my monthly nut down by about $1,000.
Wow.
That was huge. The other thing I did doesn't really relate to business and getting clients, but yet it does, because this, you know, going through all this, as I'm sure anyone that's gone through anything like this knows how incredibly stressful it can be.
Yeah.
So the other thing I did was I started martial arts training. And, you know, that really made an impact in my life. And it just let me see very clearly what's important. I always was a pretty strong individual mentally. But it made me even stronger, and it's really cool. Not to go off on some tangent on this, because good Lord, I could do it for 2 hours, but real quick, it's because I'm learning to be an instructor too, so you got to be able to talk about this stuff. But when you see how hard you physically train and what your body can endure, that translates to your mental. You know, it's in not to rip on anyone in particular, but you know, in the office where you see some of the people that freak out or they've had their pot of coffee and they're just a mess. Well, somebody that trains like that is not going to be like that. You're going to just be so mentally strong. So when I was looking at the crisis of the house, I was very easily able to say, okay, what's the worst case scenario? Worst case scenario is I lose the house, but I'll have enough money to rent an apartment here. And I will still maintain it will not be the end of the world. I'll be crushed a bit that I you know, lost everything I built with here with my dad and family and whatever. But so what? I'll be in an apartment. I'll be paying less per month. And when things pick back up, I'll be that much better off. And so be it. Now, Fortunately, it didn't go that way. Things turned around fast enough. A part of that was Bennstown Branding. Which
you were with them. Obviously, people know that. I mean, I'm not with them anymore because I'm with a competitor now.
Exactly.
But I still love those guys.
Yeah, it's a great team.
You were with them from the beginning.
Yeah, very, very much from the beginning, minus maybe a few months or so. And the first, you know, I had the time, too, which has all worked out perfect. The first year or so was just sweat equity. I was working away, trying to, you know, build it. And it has really paid off now. And unfortunately, the money started rolling in there just as I really needed it. And things were picking up in other areas as well all the way around. So things are just completely coming together.
Yeah. If anybody hasn't, everybody should be aware, but one of the big projects you're involved with is Bennstown. Again, like I've said many times, I love those guys. And they're just very good people. And you are now what? What technically are you with them? What all do you do with them?
I voice a whole bunch of stuff. I voice the CHR service. I voice some rock stuff, their rock history stuff. I voice a syndicated show for them. And my main thing right now, and I've moved from format to format right now.
Right.
I'm feeling pretty comfortable handling the News Talk format. So I write, produce, and voice the News Talk service.
You are producing News Talk. Good.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Because so tell me about your day to day. Actually, Konski asked about this as well, but something I always like to get in with people. So, you know, we talked about kind of the low point, I guess, but now you've just been building and building. You're very successful now, and you have lots of different types of clients and different types of things. How does your day look right now? How much are you producing? How much are you voicing? And what are you voicing?
I wake up every morning, and I get to lay in bed for probably an extra half hour because I handle all my emails from my iPhone while I lay in bed.
Are you an early to rise type of guy, or
no?
Are you more like a
no? Don't ask me to voice anything before 10 a.m. unless you got big money.
Okay,
I'm
gotcha.
Kidding, but no. I mean, I do function best in the afternoon and the evenings. That's just always been my body clock since I can remember. But I wake up at a reasonable time. If there's something urgent and it's in the morning, I'm probably going to know because I've at least glanced at my iPhone, go through all the mail. And I already have a list from the day before of what I need to do the next day. But then I go through, hey, oh, this client sent me something. Oh, I can cut that later today. Oh, this client needs this morning if I can do it for him, blah, blah, blah. So I just do things in order of deadline and priority. The majority of what I do is still voice behind the mic. And the production that I do is mostly, you know, the handful or whatever the number ends up being, of pieces for the News Talk service, each week. And that can change if there's breaking news or lately it's been celebrity death after celebrity death and tribute after tribute. You know, I'll be producing more, but, I'm mostly behind the mic. Yeah.
Tell me about the balance of radio imaging. I know would it be correct to say that you are building up your TV promo or, you know, local news promo clients pretty significantly lately?
Yeah, that's the newest area that I'm jumping into with NBC and a Fox affiliate. And that is definitely the next area that I want to really, really grow in. I have a great manager/agent for that. And she's been in the biz forever and is very connected. And that, you know, and that's what you need. But also, the market's got to open up. It's just there's not a lot of action right this moment. But I really enjoy it, you know. And I'll tease, you know, some of my program directors. And they're cool with it. You know, I'm like, how many times can I read getting you through the workday faster? You know? it's a bit more interesting to, you know, tonight at 11, you know, did you see the food court, the nastiness, or, you know, whatever, John Edwards is on the hot seat. You know, there's more content. It's a little more interesting, and you have to really tweak the reads more with TV affiliate and promo type stuff. There's a lot more that goes into that.
As you gain more TV type folks that are using you on a regular basis, are the expectations kind of similar? Do they want the same kind of turnaround, the same kind of file delivery, that kind of thing?
TV can be faster because it's especially during sweeps. You know, tonight at 6, you know, you've got to be available. I haven't experienced it yet. and I do believe I welcome it. They call it the golden handcuffs.
Right.
When you're doing TV affiliate work. Once you get you reach a certain point, you do find it's a little difficult to leave the studio. I'm not at that point yet, but you do, you know, and it depends on your contract. A lot of times my TV clients will send me something and it's cool getting it the next day. I have very cool clients, but during sweeps, you need to be really on top of it. Definitely.
Yeah. Let's switch gears just a bit to the technical side of things. Everybody always likes to hear what people are using and all that. You mentioned that you built up a really solid studio back in the middle 2000s, I guess. And I'm just assuming you're in that same house that we talked about,
yeah.
That your 2% mortgage. That's the same one.
Yes. Yes, indeed. It's a very unique property. I've got a separate building in the back of my house where the studio is. Which is really cool because talk about the man cave, and I've got a big workout room in there where, you know, in between stuff, I can just let loose energy or practice some movement or whatever. I built a separate room that's a vocal booth room, not a small booth, so you can actually have a couple of people in here very comfortably.
Okay.
And I mirrored the keyboard, video, and mouse off the Mac tower. The vocal booth, yeah. So I can work to get alone and do everything from right here in the vocal booth. In fact, sometimes with clients that aren't on retainer, but I bill them for everything that I read, I'll just generate the invoice right here in the vocal booth and send it. Tracks are uploaded. Here's the invoice.
Because you have a mirrored monitor as well, right?
Yes.
I mean, basically,
yeah.
You see, you can do everything on that computer right inside the vocal booth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I don't have the CPU fan noise, you know.
Yeah,
which is great. Yeah.
Right. But you're also not stuck in a little, like, what, 3x3?
Yeah, no, it's a nice size room.
You built, like, as you just said, you started building or built the studio years and years ago. Have you had to make many upgrades to it? Or are you still kind of using the equipment you started with because you just got awesome stuff right out of the gate?
No, it's been a little bit of a process. Right now I'm on a Sennheiser 416. And when I first started, and I still have this mic, it's the Neumann TLM-103. I bought that way back in Chicago when I started doing a lot more stuff. And I have the same Middle Atlantic studio desk furniture from back in Chicago. So I went from Chicago to L.A. to here. And I've used Pro Tools since the mid-90s, but obviously I've continued to upgrade. In fact, I have Pro Tools 10 should be delivered to me any day now. I'm still on 9.
Released another update, by the way, for 10, just so you know, when
yay.
You get it.
Great. And there's always buying new plugins and upgrading your Waves package and things like that. But the things that have made the most difference, or I would say the single thing that has made the most difference, is getting the Manly VoxBox mic preamp.
I thought you had one of those. I thought you were going to bring that up.
Now, before that, I was using the Focusrite Platinum Voice Masters, and I went through literally 3 or 4 of those things. I have one still sitting in my rack, and it is the last working one, but the other, at least 2 or 3, all fried on me. They went bad.
Wow.
Power supplies, and I heard this was a common problem. In fact, I think the same thing happened to Kelly not too long ago. She was bitching about it, and I said, you got to stop using that unit. And I got sick of blowing, you know, $550, $600 on those things. And I went, all right, enough. And also, being in New York, having agents here and stuff, often enough you get called into some fancy schmancy studio in the city, and you don't see those. You see the Focusrite Red or the Millennia or the, what's the one, the 737, begins with an A? I forgot the name of that one. You see really nice high-end mic pre's. And then I looked at the time of what the late, great Don LaFontaine was using. He actually used a Manly mic. And so I went and I did a taste test of all the hottest mic pre's with my mic, and recorded it to CD, made the determination myself and sent it to a couple of engineer friends. By the way, one of my best friends here lives in walking distance of my house. He was our engineer at KTU. He's now with Emmis. So I always joke, yeah, whenever I have problems in my studio, I just have the director of engineering for Emmis New York come over and take care of things.
Oh, yeah, tough spoiled. Life.
Yeah. So anyway, and wouldn't you know, of all the ones, the Manly was the most expensive one, was the one that came back.
This I was going to say, really you're nearing, it. That's like $4,500 or something, right?
It's like $4,000, but you can find it for like $3,300. Yeah, well, you know, I would tell someone that wants to do this or that does do this, you don't have to buy the Manly. You really don't. Right. I was fortunate to be in a position to be able to, and it has made a difference. But using, and this is the thing, a lot of radio people, unless you're the production geek type, but a lot of radio people that want to do voiceover, they don't get that you can't really use the RE27 and the Symmetrix mic processor that's in your prod studio. Because we're going to sound like this.
Yeah.
You know, and I try to educate people on that a bit when they want to set up home studios and stuff. But yeah, you just can't. So when I bought that, holy crap, I never imagined how much different the electronics would make in the sound of a microphone. It just opened it up, made it so transparent, so clean, just so pure. It's a huge difference.
We're hearing you now on the 416 through the Manly, is that true?
You are, and I'm not giving you any processing beyond just the basic settings on my Manly. I have it to be really transparent. And in fact, you might think if you put my tracks up right now to some other voice guys, you're going to think, well, he sounds muddy or whatever. Well, no, this is raw, this is clean. And here's another little thing I've learned. It seems that in America versus my clients overseas, people in America don't get it as much. They're not the audio purists. They want to compress the hell out of the mic, overdo it. They don't mind voice tracks coming in already pre-processed. Overseas, they yell at me, can you turn your processing down? Hit the bypass button. We want it clean so we can manipulate it. So yeah. I always educate my clients when I take on a new client, and I kind of get, because I don't ever want to insult. You want to get a vibe for their production guy or girl or whatever and see what they do or don't know. And my first time around, I'll send them raw, and then I'll say, well, here it is. I did just a little processing, and I'll just throw the Joe Meek, tweak it up a little bit, maybe Maxim to limit it a little bit. Nothing dramatic. Because sometimes I'll always ask for production back. Hey, send me some MP3s of what you just produced. And, you know, I get Konski's stuff back, and I'm laying on the floor blown away. Mm-hmm. And then I get some others back, and I go, oh, God, okay, how do I help them but not insult them or let them know, you know? So I try to educate them on that. But anyway.
Do you? I saw a chain about – this is the last thing I'll ask about this, but sure. I saw a little thread about this going on in one of the Facebook forums or something. I don't know if he would – I'm not going to mention names of who is saying what, but – as far as sending your voice out completely dry and uncolored to clients that you know already aren't doing the best with it, let's just say they're doing, as you just said, not the best work with your voice. Do you ever worry about that? Or do you ever, in fact, just start sending them in particular processed VO the way you want it processed?
Well, I haven't done that with any of my radio clients, but... and I don't think it would matter to reveal this, frankly. My NBC 17 client in Raleigh, we all know video tends to treat audio like hell.
They don't care about it, yeah.
Well, they don't care. Sometimes they don't have the audio studio set up.
Yeah.
Sometimes the people there are wizards on, you know, the video production stuff, but they're just not audio people, you know.
Yeah.
So... the first time I read my first promo for them, it was a big, you know, the tornado had just hit, and it was a big read. And I asked, hey, send me an MPEG back or, you know, whatever file you want to send me. Because I got Final Cut as well and compressor and all that crap. And I got it back, and I went, oh. I was all excited to be able to use it, like, in a demo or whatever. And then I talked to the creative director there that hired me, and he had worked at Dateline NBC in New York. And he goes, Harry... I know. I'm like, well, you know what? I want to make your job as easy as possible, and I want to be the best I can. Would you be offended if I sent you pre-processed tracks? He went, hell no. So now I send him the tracks processed. And again, all I do is tweak up the mid, high, and pull out a bass just a touch with that simple Joe Meek plugin. It's nothing anyone ever raves about. And I limit my voice a little bit. I don't compress it. And I just use Maxim. It's fine.
You just toss a little ceiling on there to flatten it out a bit.
Yeah,
and
make it more intelligible. Yeah, a little more dense to sit in their mix. And it's a world of difference. In fact, there's a video, I hope it works for you, that I just sent you that I think you're going to post along with this interview.
Yep.
And I purposely put some TV stuff on there. And you'll hear one of the food court promo for NBC that I processed. And it works. And then later in that video is a bunch of radio imaging stuff. And it's an ad campaign I did at the end of last year. So that's what that's about. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, there'll be the Hairy Leg show notes page on the website. as we just about round this out, I want to thank you, Harry. I knew you'd be a pretty honest dude. And like I said, I didn't know you very well, you know, personally before this, but I've known you professionally now for like almost a decade.
Oh,
I mean, not quite, but so it's a great time. And I just want to thank you for coming on, man.
Absolutely. This is a lot of fun. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Very cool.
Yeah, and I'll ask you my final question because I think from you, it could be a pretty interesting answer, especially because, you know, you've worked at the damn highest levels and then you had your valleys and you're back up there. What is the one thing, the one piece of advice you would give people who is looking to either build a career in this industry or rebuild a career in this industry?
I think if I had to narrow it to one thing, it would be networking. You've got to have a good network. There's one other I'd like to just take a quick side note. One of the other things that we didn't get into is vocal coaching.
No, please.
Quick story. When I moved from Chicago to L.A., I hit up a national voice talent who didn't know me. I didn't know him, but I knew who he was. And I just asked if I could pick his brain and where do I begin doing agency-level voiceover work. And I sent him my demo. And he wrote back suggesting that I go take voiceover classes. Now, at first, I was taken aback. I'm like, what? I've been doing radio for 20 years in Chicago and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, but ultimately, I didn't let my ego get the best of me. He also, fortunately, recommended a particular voiceover coach. And I looked him up, went to his website, and asked a whole bunch of questions. And I went, oh, I don't know that. I don't know that. This is different than the radio side of things. So I went and I got some professional VO coaching and I had to get a lot, I mean, not all of it, but a lot of the radio delivery beaten out of me and learn how to really interpret scripts, learn how to use my voice in different ways than we all tend to do on the radio because it's such a hype situation. When you're on the air or even in the production studio, walk in and they hand you the script and, hey, join me at the mall this Friday night. We'll be giving out prize packs and blah, blah, blah. And you're pushing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many, you know, hey, it's Lady Gaga on 102.7 Kiss FM. You know, it's a whole I'm exaggerating, of course, a little bit. It's a whole different thing. And I learned that telling someone in the voiceover world that you were in radio was a negative. It was a turnoff because they don't want the people that push their voice.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do it and don't know it. I was working with a friend the other day and when I said, I'm going to imitate you and I'm going to exaggerate. I'm not being a jerk. I just, you know, it's to get the point across. And he's like, oh, wow. Now I hear it. It was like opening a window, you know, for the person.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through that and every radio, I can't tell you how many friends of mine have said, I want to do VO, man. I want to get that business going. And I'm like, good, good, good. But go get some voice coaching. And then yeah, I give them a few people to go to. And at first they're taken aback too. But it's so important. Radio stations train salespeople, but they do not train their people behind the mic in that regard. And we always joke about, you know, when you hear the small market, I don't want to just say small market. When you hear the commercials of the husband and wife, and it's two DJs from the station walking in the studio, how many times do those commercials sound hokey as hell, you know?
Just about every time.
Yeah. But when the ones come in from the agencies, not so bad. Kind of believable usually. Mm-hmm. Why is that? When I was with an agent in New York, I remember going for an audition at their studio, their office, and they hand me a Subway Sandwiches script. And I sit down and I'm practicing it, waiting to be called into the studio. And who's sitting next to me practicing the same script? It's the guy who had the leading role in a show I had just seen on Broadway a few weeks prior. Yeah, that's who you're if you're a radio person, that is who you're competing with. So it's a whole different world. So don't think you can use your radio commercial production demo where you're pumping out the jams at the local nightclub or mall. That ain't going to fit next to the person that's, you know, reading the Lexus ad or the mobile phone ad or, you know, something like that. You've got to move into a whole new ballpark. Okay.
No, 100%. We've talked about that on this before a little, about the fact that if you want to be in the voiceover world, being in radio is definitely a bad thing.
Well, there are advantages, but those are the disadvantages that we talked about. Advantages is you're not afraid of the mic, not afraid of headphones, probably aren't afraid of equipment. So you do have a lot of things. And you're probably not a diva about your voice because you were out till 2 a.m. doing the nightclub gig and you're on the air the next morning at 10 a.m. and you walk in 30 seconds before and you crack the mic and you don't worry about it. A lot of voice actors are, oh, let me drink my blah, blah, blah and do my, you know, and I'm not making fun of that either. But, well, I am. But, you know, we have advantages too because we trust our voice. We're ready to go. And we can read, copy, dry, you know, cold. Much better than many others.
Well, that's cool, man. So really, two amazing keys to getting that career going. But networking is key. And these days, networking is, you know, it's easier with all the venues being so instant and accessible. But it's tougher because there's so many different ways you need to network now.
Well, and you need to be in the right clique as well. Unfortunately, it's a lot of politics behind it. A very good friend of mine is ops manager of a cluster of stations. And over the past handful of years at that cluster, there have been format flips and station readjustments. And my good friend has never once been able to get me a voice gig at one of his stations because they're dictated from above. So if you're not, you know, or they want to have someone at one of their other clusters do it for free. And they dangle the carrot in front of them, say, hey, it'll be good for your career and blah, blah, blah. And so there are a lot of obstacles. It's very, very difficult sometimes. Absolutely.
I have to assume that that company starts with the letter C.
That could be a couple of companies. So we'll just leave it at that. But yeah, it is. And one of the other things, I have a lot of friends that always say, Harry, I would love to do imaging. Tell me how to start. And they're asking me because they need to make immediate money. And I said, whoa, 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 back up.
Yep.
Imaging is not how you're going to make immediate money. I know what you're thinking, monthly retainer checks, because you've heard how that goes. But no, next to freaking impossible to pull off anytime soon with the amount of energy and effort that you're going to have to put into it. But if you want to do commercial work, go get some coaching, and you can start making money almost immediately. That's the way to go.
Excellent. Harry, man, I appreciate it.
Ryan, and thank you. It's been great.
We're doing this right before the holiday weekend, so hope you have yourself a great weekend. Don't work too hard.
You got it. You too.
And we'll put all the info on the website. Is there anywhere you want to, I mean, harryleg.com, right? That's your website.
Yeah, and leg is spelled with two G's, so harryleg.com. And the stuff that you're going to post.
And the stuff that I'll post on the show notes page, too, so check them out. But Harry, thanks a lot, man. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. You got it.
Thanks again to Harry. Kicked off part two, by the way. I can't remember if I mentioned that in the beginning of part one, but just a nice collage of his CHR work. But that one, I had to chop that up for the interview, and also because now there's more to hear online. So if you go to the Harry Legg show notes page, you'll hear the full KTU demo from the Harry Legg era of KTU in New York City. You'll also hear the entire CHR demo. And I forget if I have something else I've posted from Harry on the show notes. But anyway, just go to the show notes page, Harry Legg. You'll see all the glory that is the leg of Harry. And coming up, like I said, we have Matt Nikolic. He should be the very next episode I post, not too long from now, a couple weeks maybe. And then Dave Bethel. I'm working that one in when it's convenient for his album release. I've already gotten to hear it, to be honest. I am, yes, that special. And it's pretty amazing. The kind of music he is doing, you know, for at the end of the day, it's beds and beats. I mean, he's making beds and beats, but it's much more than just simple beds. I'll tell you that much. Super quality. Anyway, So a lot of really talented people to talk to in the very near future. And then after that, I've got sort of a big wig guy lined up over at the Sirius, the XM. And you might have a pretty good idea who I'm talking about based on some blog posts I've made. So I can't wait to talk to him. A guy in Chicago going to talk to at some point. There's a few people already literally that I've talked to that we are all but locked in. So big time guests coming up on the podcast. As always, if you have anyone to suggest, I'll take the email, or you can use the contact form on the website, ryandreen@gmail.com, if you want to connect with me. Also, just simply on the Google world right there. RyanOnTheRadio.com has links to everything you need for the podcast, I suppose, and anything you want to submit. You can check out the blog feeds. Like I mentioned in the beginning of part one, submitted content has been good. And then the new feature in the studio has been fun. I've had a number of people submit kind of their world, show me pics of your studio, pictures of the area around your studio. Maybe it's in a closet. And, you know, show us how it does. I think my favorite part about him is the quality of work that comes out of some people, and then finding out where they're doing that, and you realize that you have a spare bedroom that no one's even gone into in 3 years, and it still looks better than some people's studios. And heck, they're still making amazing work. So anyway, send me your stuff if you'd like to get it displayed. And of course, anytime you have a demo that you'd like to get posted for people to hear, or if you're you have a job opportunity. I've posted a few of those recently, and I know in this day and age that any opportunities for people out there, I'm very happy to assist and help people find the right fit for person and employer. Otherwise, that's it. Thanks for checking it out, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.
This is The Producers. Have a question, comment, or concern? Email Ryan at ryanontheradio.com. The Producers. Thanks for listening.